Our scripture reading for this hour's lesson is taken from 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. Which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of Noah, or long-suffering of God, waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth now also save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Once again, we are pleased to have you here with us. Thank you for being here. You are honored guests. If those are in the auditorium, we're appreciative for you. And those who have tuned us in by way of radio, we're appreciative of you as well. And hope that you can be with us any chance that you may have as we worship God in spirit and in truth. Don't forget to remind you, our upcoming vacation Bible school, 17th through 20th of July. So we're officially 1 month away and counting. Hope you can make plans to be here. There's a breaking news update. They found a man dead in his bathtub in the state of Iowa holding a box of Cheerios. The police believe it to be a serial killer. We've been talking the entire month of June on baptism. We're placing an importance on this because Scripture teaches us, as we just read from 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, that baptism doth now also save us. Therefore, it is of utmost importance that we understand what the Bible says about baptism, why we are baptized, and the like. And so we began this, and we talked about water tests that God has in Scripture and how certain people passed and certain people failed. Last week, we talked about baptized into what? We asked that question. And today, we're going to talk about before baptism and after baptism. Yet, dear friends, sadly, there is much misunderstanding about the exact place of baptism. So there are religious groups all over this county and all over this world, and they'll say, well, you need to be baptized, but you're baptized for this reason. Or you're baptized to do that. Dear friends, I want to leave behind what man says, and I want to open God's Word and talk about what happens before and immediately after baptism. What is baptism? It is a burial in water. Baptizo, the Greek word for baptize, is transliterated. And they just kind of brought it over and made the letters look like English. And that literally means to immerse, to go under the water and to come back out of the water. You'll meet some people and they'll say, well, I was baptized, I was sprinkled. No, you were not. You couldn't physically go under that sprinkling and come back out of that sprinkling. That's not how that works. You've got to go under the water and come back out of the water. So the question then becomes, what precedes and what follows this act? That's what I want us to study in the time that we have before us today. So number one, things that precede baptism. What comes before baptism? Go with me to Matthew 28 and verse 19 and 20. Notice the great commission that Jesus gave before he ascended. First, before baptism, there has to be teaching. You can't just walk up to anybody that you want to and immerse them into Christ. You can get them wet, certainly. You can dunk them under the water and bring them back up. But you must be taught. Notice what Jesus says. He says in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. What are our instructions? Go and teach. We must teach people in order to be saved. I can't just go up and immediately tell them to be saved. They must know why. What must I do to be saved? Ask that question that they asked on the day of Pentecost. preceding baptism, first off, you've got to be taught. You've got to know what to do and why. The next thing that precedes baptism is believing. Go to Mark's parallel account of the same story. That would be the Great Commission in Mark 16, 15 and 16. Not only is there teaching, there's believing. Notice this. Jesus speaking unto them says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized will be saved. He that believeth not will be damned or condemned." See, belief is essential. After I've been taught, I must believe what I've been taught. Believes and conjunction joins them two thoughts, makes them on an equal playing field. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. But that's not all. We must repent of our sins. Go with me to the beginning of the church in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Notice here, we must have repentance. To repent means to change thought or to change direction. So you change your mindset that will work through your body and change your actions. Notice this. Peter's just been preaching. He's laid it on them thick. The audience says, "What shall we do?" Then Peter answered when they heard this. Peter answered and said, verse 38, "Repent and be baptized." That same "and" word conjoins these thoughts. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." So you've got to be taught. You've got to believe what you've been taught. You've got to be willing to change your lifestyle. Repent of that. We see in Acts chapter 8, and I don't know why I didn't type it, verse 37, we see the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. Flip over just a handful of pages. Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. When Philip says, "If you believe," talking to this nobleman, this eunuch he's been speaking to, he says, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." He's just asked, "Why can't I be baptized?" Philip says, "You got to believe." And then with his mouth, the eunuch says the 10 most important words you can ever say in your life. "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." I know verse 38, they were baptized. So immediately before, you have confession. See, immersion is not baptism without these precedents. Once again, you can get wet. You can go under the water and come back up, and it's what we call getting wet. You can do it here, do it in the bathtub, doesn't matter. You can get wet, but you've got to be taught. You've got to believe. You've got to repent, and you've got to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Dear friends, immersion is not baptism unless you've done this, which, by the way, by necessity then eliminates infant baptism. See, some of the so-called churches that we have to drive by, that we see, they'll baptize babies when they're young. They'll baptize kids at a young age. And I tell you what, these babies, because I've watched the videos of them doing it, these babies haven't been taught. They don't even know what to believe, let alone who's holding them, some of them. There's no way they can repent because they have nothing wrong in their life. And a baby that can't talk, it can't confess Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. There is no need to baptize an infant. I never find it in Scripture. And if I don't find it in Scripture, I don't do it. Plain and simple. So what happens immediately before baptism? You've got to be taught. You've got to believe, repent, and confess. So, upon that confession, just like that eunuch was, it went down in the water. In fact, Acts 8, verse 38 says, both Philip and the eunuch went down, and both Philip and the eunuch came out. It tells me they both went under the water. If the person you're baptizing is small enough, you'll do that too if you're not careful. But the main thing is the eunuch went all the way under and came up. So, what follows baptism? What follows after your baptism? Go back to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. By the way, if you're taking notes, we've got a lot of passages. You're going to see some similar passages showing up on some of these points. But look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Peter says, "Repent and be baptized for what? For the remission of your sins." So what follows baptism? Once I have been baptized, my sins have been remitted. They have been forgiven. They have been erased from my book of life. But that doesn't happen before baptism. He says, "Repent and be baptized for unto the remission of your sins." So a thing that follows baptism is my sins are remitted. Keep going. For the remission of your sins, Acts 2 through 8, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He's not talking about you're going to be able to do miracles. You have God's Word, and you can read about God through His Word, and you can understand we're created in the image of God because we have a spirit, we have a soul. After baptism. I mean, we have that soul before, but that soul has been washed clean after baptism. Stay with me in the book of Acts. Go to chapter 2, or 22 and verse 16. The story of Paul and his conversion account. He was converted in the 9th chapter. He retells it in the 22nd chapter as a defense. He'll retell it again in the 26th chapter. No doubt he told it more than these times. These are just the ones recorded. Notice the words of Ananias to Saul of Tarsus, soon to become Paul. Acts 22 and verse 16, he says, "And now, why tarriest thou?" Why are you waiting? "Arise, be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord," or submitting to God his commands. So what happens after baptism? My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Don't we sing that in a song? After baptism is when my sins are washed away, which by definition means if somebody just believes and dies in just a believing state, but not a believe, repent, confess, and baptize state, then that means they still have their sins with them. That's why baptism is so essential. Our sins are washed away when we come out of that watery grave. We keep going. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. What do I know after baptism? I am put into Christ. And dear friends, there's no better place on this earth to be than being in Christ. Notice here what Paul says to Christians. He's writing to Christians in the Galatian region. He says, "For as many of you has been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." So he says, you're baptized where? Into Christ. You're not baptized into some civic group, some group that has a board, that has a headquarters in Nashville. No, you're baptized into Christ. You've put on Christ in baptism the same way that you put on a jacket or you put on a hat. You put it on you. It becomes one with you. After baptism. You don't put on Christ. You're not in Christ before baptism. It doesn't happen that way. If you just believe, you're not in Christ. Plain and simple. We move on. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. Not only am I in Christ, I'm also in the body of Christ. Which we'll get to that in a minute. What else that is. But notice here, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. In this passage, Paul is talking about the different functions of the body, different members all having different jobs. The hand does a different job than the ear, and vice versa. Verse 13, "For by one Spirit we're baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, bond or free, all have been made to drink into one Spirit." We're baptized into what, Paul? Into one body. What is that? That is the body of Christ. How many bodies is one? One. It doesn't mean there's a body that's different in McMinnville and then a different one in Woodbury and a different one in Walla Walla, Washington. It doesn't work that way. There is one body, and it is the body of Christ, which, by the way, is also the church. Notice that again, you're baptized into one body. Go with me, Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 18. Colossians 1:18, not only are you in Christ, in the body of Christ, but you're in the church, because as we're going to see from Colossians 1:18, the church is equal to the body. That's a simple math equation. You could do it all day long. Church equal to body. Colossians 1:18, "And he," Jesus Christ, "is the head of the body, comma, the church." Church, modifying body, they're one and the same. "Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." So, if Christ is the head of the body, which is the church, and I have been baptized into the body, therefore I've been baptized into the church. You see that? If I'm into one, it has a different name, it's the same thing. The body is the church. But what else? After baptism, I become in contact with spiritual blessings. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3. I don't get spiritual blessings before I'm baptized. That just doesn't happen. Notice this. Ephesians 1 and verse 3 is Paul's going to begin talking about unity. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That phrase, in Christ, is key in that verse. Preposition, I am in Christ. But notice, where are these spiritual blessings? They're in Christ. How do I get in Christ? Oh wait, Galatians 3 and verse 27. Don't you know so many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ? So I am baptized into Christ, and in Christ are where spiritual blessings are. So you don't find spiritual blessings in the world, but you don't find them anywhere else but in Christ. And it's not just some. Notice he said with all spiritual blessings. I get all the blessings of God in Christ. We continue. After baptism, I come in contact with His blood. Now, we've already talked about the body, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. I want you to key in there, 1 John 1 and verse number 7. 1 John 1 and 7. It's John the Apostle is writing later in life. He says, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, who's He? Jesus. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. Where do I come in contact with Christ and His blood? Oh, that'd be by baptism. I'm put into Christ, where He shed His blood for me. So when I come in contact with the blood, 1 John 1, 7, what? I have a continual cleansing. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, His blood is still there, flowing for you and me. That's an admonition for you and I to remain faithful. If you're not faithful, verse 9 or verse 8, excuse me, says, if we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just, will forgive them. And verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. So He's written these things, 2 and 1, that we sin not. And if we sin, verse 2, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. See, I'm in Christ. That means I have contact with the blood where I can have my sins forgiven. I don't have to be baptized every time I sin. I can ask God for forgiveness and repent of those sins, and He is faithful and just, verse 9, to forgive them. What else follows baptism? I have a new life. Go with me here to Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. I love this passage. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Notice this, after I've been baptized, a new life, verse 3, know ye not, once again he's writing to Christians, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Therefore we're buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Jesus Christ rose out of that grave. Just like today, we rise out of that watery grave to walk in a newness of life. See, I don't get a new life before I'm baptized. It's only after I've been baptized. Thinking about things that are new after baptism, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Notice this here. I am a new creature. Not that same old creature, that old sin-filled creature. I am a new creature. Look here. 2 Corinthians 5. And verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, pause. How do I get in Christ? Galatians 3:27, baptized into Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm a new creature. I don't live that old sin-filled life anymore. That's not who I am anymore. My sins have been washed away. I live a new life. A life of praising God, a life of doing my best to live in harmony with His commandments. What else happens after baptism? Is our lesson text, right? 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. Notice that one again. We've mentioned, I'll say it again. If you underline, you can underline the first part of this verse. He says, the like figure whereunto, watch, baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away the filth of flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. What is what comes after baptism? Salvation. How do I know? Baptism saves us. But I tell you what, I can't be saved if I'm not baptized. Therefore, salvation only comes after baptism. What else do I see? What else follows baptism? I am freed from my sins. Go back to Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. We were just there, right? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death, that therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Drop down to verse 17 as I flip the page. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that former doctrine delivered to you, and being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. How do I be made free from sin? When I obey that doctrine that was delivered to me. By doing what? By being baptized, verses 3 and 4, into Christ. See, I have freedom of my sin. There are no longer these shackles that are just weighing me down in this spiritual life. I'm free. They no longer affect me. But also after baptism, I become children of righteousness. Go back to verse 18. Being then made free from sin, freedom of sin, you became the servants of righteousness, or the children of righteousness. I no longer am a child of the world. I no longer live a worldly, sin-filled life. I live a life for God. What else happens after baptism? I'm in the house of God. We already looked at 1 Corinthians 12:13, talking about the body, but look how Paul puts it to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. Notice this here. I am in the house of God. But if I tarry long, Paul says, 1 Timothy 3:15, he's writing, hoping to see me shortly, or hoping to see him shortly. But if I tarry long, thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground, or literally the stay of the truth. When I am baptized, I am in the house of God, which is the church, as we just see. But I'm not in the house of God before I've been baptized, only after, because that's when I become a part of his body. We're almost done on this point, I promise. What happens after baptism? Well, first I get the blessing of Christ's priesthood. Christ is our priest. We're here in 1 Timothy 3:15. Talking about how I ought to behave myself. But go with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 10 and verse 21. The thought of Hebrews is the new law is better than the old law. Christ is better than the old law. He is our high priest. Notice this here, Hebrews 10, 21. Talking about how we have verse 19, boldness, confidence to enter into the holiest. We can actually approach God through the blood of Jesus. By a new living way, he consecrated us. He tore the veil, made where we can approach God. Verse 21, having a high priest over the house of God. We just talk about being in the house of God. And you see, Jesus is the priest over that house. We become subject to him. We're in his priesthood. And finally, there's redemption. Redemption only happens after baptism. We just talked about Galatians 3 and 27. Go with me to Ephesians 1 and verse number 7. Ephesians 1 and 7. There is redemption only after baptism. He's talking about verse 3, being in Christ, where all spiritual blessings are. Jump down to verse 7. In whom we have the redemption through his blood. How do we contact his blood? In baptism. The forgiveness of sins. How do we get that? Baptism, according to the riches of his grace. See, I've not been redeemed if I'm still living in sin. If I've never been immersed into Christ, I'm not redeemed. I'm living in that old sin-filled state. So there's a lot of things that follow baptism. And by the way, I feel we need to point this out before we close. Number three, water is not the thing that gives these blessings. I know some people who say, I have to be baptized at this certain baptistry, at this certain creek, at this certain whatever. I've done a creek baptism. He complained the whole way in. I said, I had you a baptistry. There were no fish swimming in the baptistry. It's not the water. The water's not the thing. How do I know? Go back and ask Naaman, 2 Kings chapter 5, when he was told how to be cleansed of his leprosy. And he was told to go dip in that dirty old Jordan River 7 times. He said, are not the waters of Arbana and Pharpar, are they not nicer waters over here in Damascus? Yes, they were. But see, God said you had to be baptized or have to go down in the water of the Jordan River. Why? Because that's where God said. The physical water had no cleansing ability whatsoever other than the fact it's the one that God had specified. See, faith through obedience saved. Christ has fixed the terms. Now here's the thing. Christ has said in order to be saved, we just went through that list, almost 20 different things that happen after baptism. Christ fixed the terms. If he had said, in order to be saved, I need you to walk a mile on your hands and then do a double somersault in order to be saved, guess what? That's what I'd have to do. But that's not really fair to people who don't have hands. And that's not really fair to people who don't have good balance abilities or have any gymnastic abilities. That's not really fair. Not everybody could do that. If he'd said, hop up and down for 3 hours on your left foot while singing the ABC song, well, that's kind of knocks out all the people who don't have a left foot, doesn't it? He said, in order to be saved, you got to hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. Go down that water grave, come up a new creature. Christ fixed the terms. He gets to say what they are. By the way, they're terms that anyone can do. Washing of regeneration. Go with me to this passage. It's our last one to look up in Titus chapter 3 and verse number 5. We see the washing of regeneration. It's not a work of righteousness which we've done. We're not the righteous ones here. Paul's talking about, he says, not by the works of righteousness which some have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. How? By the washing of regeneration and renewing the Holy Ghost. See, just because you're a righteous person, that's not what makes you saved. It's God, through his grace and mercy, has told you how to be saved, and you become obedient. 1 Peter 3:21, the answer of a good conscience towards God. Oh, by the way, in baptism, there is a submission to God's commandments as an act of merit. Go back and reread the story of the baptism of Christ. Christ was a sinless person, had no sin, and yet he was baptized as an example for us to know what to do. Christ submitted to God's will and was baptized. And dear friends, we ought to do the same. So before and after baptism, and I tell you now, man cannot change the place of baptism. Some men want to have you saved when you believe and then do all this other stuff later. No, no. You're not saved till after you've been baptized. And dear friends, I want to tell you now, if you've been baptized, but you weren't taught, if you didn't believe first, if you didn't repent, if you didn't confess, there's a good chance you just got wet. Why not make it right? Why not be baptized into Christ and have all these spiritual blessings, all these wonderful things we've mentioned? If you're not a Christian this morning, why not do so? We'd love to assist you. Our invitation song, although I didn't ask him to do it, it's perfectly planned, only a step. You've got a step. You've got to act on that. Why not act on that conviction? Why not become a Christian this very hour? Dear friends, if you are a Christian, I encourage you to stay faithful. If you're not faithful, guess what? It only takes you a step. You've got to act on that again. We'd love to pray with you, pray for you. You don't have to be baptized again. You just have to repent of those sins, and you can leave in a right, restored relationship with our Lord. If we can help you in any way at all this hour, whatever your need may be, please let it be known while we stand.